not backing down. Feet on the ground.
Feet on the ground.
Not backing down.
Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry. Corporate greed, that's what was exposed today by New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman.
Spectrum Time Warner has been ripping you off.
The AG says the company has conducted a deliberate scheme to defraud and mislead New Yorkers since 2012 by promising internet service they knew they couldn't deliver.
Time Warner Cable built its multi-million dollar ad campaigns around the promise of fast, reliable internet service. But the reality is that the internet service was neither fast nor reliable. A careful analysis of internal corporate communications and tests of subscriber internet speeds showed that Spectrum Time Warner subscribers were getting dramatically shortchanged. Despite labeling its high-speed plans with names like Turbo and Extreme, our complaint quotes from internal corporate emails that show that company executives knew that their internet service was often far slower than promised, and that many subscribers would never experience the speeds they were paying for. My office also looked at the results of internet speed tests from tens of thousands of New York subscribers who paid for the company's top three speed plans, the 100, 200, and 300 megabit per second plans. We looked at a lot of actual tests for real customers, and the test results showed that Spectrum Time Warner consistently failed to fulfill its promises to subscribers. Take, for example, subscribers in the top speed plan, who each paid as much as $110 a month for what they thought was 300 megabits per second speed. What did they actually get? On average, we alleged that they got just 85 megabits per second. That's 70% slower than what they were paying for. Even subscribers in the more modest 100 megabit plan were barely getting half the speed they paid for. Our results are based on multiple speed tests, including tests by the federal government, and even Spectrum Time Warner's own internal tests.
So all those times New Yorkers called Time Warner to say their internet wasn't working, or that it was running slow, or that they weren't getting the speed that they paid for, or all those times New Yorkers turned the equipment off and then turned it back on, it really wouldn't speed anything up. That's because the modems New Yorkers rent from the company couldn't carry a fast speed. New Yorkers have paid that company $600 million in modem leases alone. The AG says Spectrum Time Warner's business plan was based on deceit.
Internal emails show that Spectrum Time Warner executives repeatedly refused to spend money on its networks to boost, in order to boost profits, knowing that this failure to spend money would overload those networks, ensuring the delivery of subpar service. Internal emails also show that Spectrum Time Warner executives knew that the hardware they were leasing to subscribers was technologically incapable of delivering the speeds those subscribers were paying for. As one executive put it, quote, "We are going to experience a mismatch between what we sell the customer and what they actually measure on their laptop, tablet, etc." For example, the company's own engineers warned as far back as 2013 that the outdated modems that Spectrum Time Warner had given its subscribers simply could not provide internet as fast as they had promised. Yet the company had the audacity to charge subscribers $10 a month to lease those subpar modems, knowing they could not deliver the promised speeds. Those fees add up. Between May 2012 and February 2016, New York subscribers paid Spectrum Time Warner $600 million in modem lease fees alone. It was only a matter of time, ladies and gentlemen, before some subscribers started to catch on. And they did, and the complaints started to flow. Now, the company could have solved some of these problems by simply upgrading subscribers' hardware, the modems and routers that they provided to subscribers. Giving subscribers faster modems and routers could have helped the company live up to its promises, and indeed, that's the solution that was suggested by the company's engineers. But they were overruled by higher-ups who explicitly said the solution would be too costly.
The AG says Time Warner may have a new name, but it's perpetrating the same fraud. The office is seeking a full accounting of all damage from January 2012 to the present and relief for customers. In a statement, Spectrum's parent company, Charter, said they are disappointed Schneiderman chose to sue the company over promises made by Time Warner before the acquisition. Charter has already made substantial investments, the company says, in the interest of upgrading the Time Warner cable system. Schneiderman's office, however, alleges that Charter continues to underserve customers by failing to take steps, including network upgrades and replacement of deficient customer modems and routers. The lawsuit has been filed in state Supreme Court in Manhattan. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
It's a sham! The ban!
It's a sham!
No hate! No fear! Refugees are welcome here!
No hate! No fear!
Today is World Hijab Day, and women in hijabs gathered on the steps of City Hall to say we all stand together in unity and solidarity.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Which of course means greetings of peace and blessings be upon you.
Afaf Nasher is executive director of CARE New York, the Council on American Islamic Relations.
We believe that when a person's civil liberties are at risk for one group or one person, it affects every single one of us.
That's right.
And today what we are here for is to promote and celebrate World Hijab Day, which is a day really to protect a woman's ability to express herself religiously without concerns or fear of intimidation, discrimination, or hatred.
Many women wore hijabs made of the American flag, children, young and old women holding signs which say all Muslims are human, no human is illegal. A woman wearing a hijab holds a sign which reads, "Hijab is my privacy, hijab is my protection." Sister Dilruba Chowdhury is with MUNA. It's a faith-based Muslim organization. She's upset over discrimination for wearing a hijab. She says it's our dignity, it's our modesty.
We just feel proud of this. Please don't ignore us for this. This is a history. You know Ibrahim, you know Moses, you know Jesus, Maryam's mom. When Jibreel came to her, she was not proper clothes. Then she covered herself. The piece of clothes. This is the hijab.
Wearing a hijab is a choice that we women make on our own.
Sister Sylvia Lam is with SAFIS, South Asian Fund for Education, Scholarship, and Training.
We are not oppressed. We are beautiful, and we hide our beauty. Just like you hide a pearl or a diamond, that is exactly how we feel about ourselves. It's funny how whenever we make changes, people think we are an extremist. People don't understand what we go through when people resist and all these other things that are creating resistance against us. We are trying to unify with you guys. We are trying to explain to you guys we love you guys. We want to help this community. Islam is about peace and coming together and to unify each other. Doesn't matter if I wear a niqab or if this little girl over here wears a hijab. We should be free to wear what we wear. And we're standing here for the next generations because we want our girls not to take off the niqab. We don't want our girls to take off the niqab. We want them to feel empowered, and we're all behind them.
New York City officials came out in force on World Hijab Day. New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Vivedito says World Hijab Day has been celebrated for a number of years, but this year it assumes greater significance and importance in light of the tense climate the Trump administration is creating.
The division, the separation, the scapegoating, the fear that it is eliciting. It is a time for all communities to band together. So it really is important for us to be here. And I want to thank all of our brothers that are here as well in unity. So I definitely stand here in solidarity. It's been a tough week for many of us, those that believe in peace, that believe in justice, that believe in equality, that we've been out on the streets almost every day in response to these executive orders that just keep raining down on us. And wreaking havoc. There is chaos all around us. And what it is doing, again, is just eliciting and inciting fear and division. And many of our communities are targeted. So I'm standing here as a Latina in solidarity with my Muslim brothers and sisters. And Islamophobia, discrimination, harassment, this is the reality for many of our brothers and sisters in the Muslim community. We have seen the steady mainstreaming of bigotry over the course of the election, the rise in hate crimes against women, imams, mosques, and now policies and executive orders barring Muslim immigration grounded in fear and hate. I and the New York City Council will not stand idly by as you and your faith are under attack. Make no mistake, when they come after the Muslim community, they are coming after all of us, as we're seeing again with the executive orders being issued. People fear what they do not know. But here's what I know and what I see. I see Muslim women in leadership. I see Muslim women building community. I see Muslim women at the forefront of the resistance. And I'm here to say I will fight alongside you each and every day. All we have to do is not only look at the Women's March, but look at all the subsequent actions and the level of solidarity, but leadership that members of our Muslim community are exhibiting. Muslim communities are diverse, and Muslim women are African and African American. They are Arab, South Asian, and Asian. They're even Latinas. We are in a rainbow of cultures, languages, and histories, but we are one in solidarity with you, our Muslim hermanas. And as one, we commit now more than ever to stand together to fight against hatred. Today is not just a World Hijab Day, but today and every day is a day of love, a day of respect, and a day to celebrate what makes us unique as human beings. I'm telling you, I've been empowered. I feel passionate about what we're being called to do. And we have to do that all as one. And so I feel your strength and I feel your passion. And I'm here to say that we're going to push back, we're going to resist, and we're going to do that while we respect each other, we respect our differences, but we come together with a lot of passion and a lot of resistance.
And we'll win.
Yes, we will.
We'll win.
Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer wears the American flag hijab as she praises the Muslim community.
Sure. This is a communicator extraordinaire, text, phone calls, emails. Keeping people in touch. And that's what this community is all about. And I say that because last year when we were here, we were saying, I don't know, maybe I'm a little biased, but the women in the hijabs are scientists, doctors, lawyers, brilliant, committed, community people, the best of the world.
That's right.
The best of the world.
And they drive cars too.
Yep. And I say that because the discrimination that is prevalent today is something that maybe we would not have seen the depth of it last year, although it is always there. And I want to join the speaker in talking about sisterhood. But I'm also here to say, as somebody just like all of you that was at the airport last Saturday night, that kind of community coming out for the Muslim community is perhaps something that we've never seen before. If there's a tiny, tiny silver lining in that, is that we are one. And we are not going to forget it. And the numbers of people turning out is very, very important. And this press conference is equally important to say, no matter what your faith, your culture, or both, every single woman here and every single man belongs here. So, woo! We know that the president, I don't even like to use his name, has betrayed the American dream by targeting Muslims at airports, by falsely telling us that immigrants and refugees are our enemies. We will all stand up to this, and as we heard earlier, we will win.
That's right.
We will win. So I believe that wearing the hijab is an awesome display of courage. What we owe women who wear them is courage of our own, the courage to stand up for all our neighbors whenever they are threatened. We are 8.5 million people. We speak 150 languages. Immigrants bring $100 billion to the economy of the city of New York, and they own 83,000 businesses. That president, get lost. We're real. We're going to win. And the women who wear the hijabs are the backbone of our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer. Alongside her is an NYPD officer.
Every day I get up, I go to work, put my uniform on, put my hijab on, and I look forward to protecting my fellow New Yorkers.
Ami El-Sakari, she says putting on a hijab every day as she goes to work is natural for her.
I'm also proud to be part of a police force that accept and embrace diversity. They allowed my hijab and they supported me through the times where other people looked down at me wearing hijab. I also want to say thank you to the mayor for also standing and supporting us of us women who wear hijab, because I'm human just like everybody else. I laugh, I cry, I play with my kids, I work, I drive cars. I'm your regular woman, regular sister. Like I said, I don't simply police the city, I live in it. I born, raised here, do everything. I'm a New Yorker. And I just want to thank all the sisters that came out and all the non-Muslim sisters that came out in support of us, and know that stay strong and stand proud, because we belong here, we belong everywhere. And to everybody else that have questions about hijab, please ask us. Get your information from the woman that wear it.
That's right.
Because we could talk. We can tell you how it is. We're very proud of wearing it. It's a choice. It's my choice, my right. And no president, no human being can tell me different.
I am so proud and honored to be here. I am so proud and honored to be a New Yorker and American at this very uncertain time in our history as a nation.
Sister Debbie from the Muslim Community Network is from Yemen. She says people of good conscience across America have been incredible, showing solidarity and standing up for American values.
And they continue to check on Muslim Americans, especially the communities that haven't been impacted by the Muslim ban on the seven countries. I stand in front of you today as a proud Yemeni American, a proud Yemeni American who has my community been affected by the Muslim ban. I want to invite each and every one of our allies and the press this afternoon to join us tomorrow at Brooklyn Borough Hall, 209 Girolamon Street, for a solidarity rally with the Yemeni American community, who will be actually congregating in a culmination of after 1,000 Yemeni store owners and bodega owners will do a shutdown tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. to show the world how this is economically, socially, and emotionally impacting each and every one of them and their workers. There will be people from the Yemeni American community who will be telling their stories. Please join us to hear the tear-wrenching stories of each and every family member that will be there. We will be joined by allies, interfaith leaders, and elected officials who will stand with us.
Councilmember Lori Cumbo is chair of the City Council's Women's Issues Committee. She says, this is our time.
This is so powerful because the movement is growing. Every year, more and more people, those that are Muslim and those that are also not Muslim, come together because we want to show solidarity. This is our time. I mean, we've never seen anything. It's unprecedented. The Women's March, which was from here to Washington, D.C., all the way to Antarctica, we raised our voices. And for those that think that Muslim women do not have a voice, check out the activists standing with me today. Muslim women are strong. They are dynamic. They are at the forefront. They are creating community and changing the world. And I want to say we are here ultimately for this little one right here today. This beautiful young lady, how old are you?
Nine
years old. We are here today because of her. Because ultimately, she should be able to go to school. She should be able to travel. She should be able to come in and out of our country. She should be able to visit with family relatives. And her family should not have to make a decision as to whether she should wear her hijab or not because of safety reasons. You should be and know that you are normal, beautiful, and perfectly created by God. And however you choose to express yourself, we as this country embrace you. And I say to the world, what you are seeing in terms of that man, that is not reflective of who we are in this country. Do not judge us by that very minority-centered view. That is not who this country is. Who this country is what you saw at JFK Airport, where we come together in airports all across this country to defend one another and to protect what this country was built on. As an African-American woman, we sacrificed our lives to create this country, and we have gone too far to turn back now. We're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to raise our voice. We are going to become better as a result of this election. We are going to become stronger. We are going to become the country that we were always intended to be.
Mariam Zaya is an Indonesian-American Muslim with the Nusantara Foundation. She wore the hijab first when she was 9 years old, and she's been facing discrimination for wearing it ever since.
I started wearing the hijab the year after the 9/11 tragedy, but I was only a child, so I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know racism, discrimination, and stereotypes have ever existed. I didn't know about the consequences that were about to come. But with all that being said, even though the fact that I have been ignored by my peers, I have been stared at, I have been treated differently, I've heard stories of other sisters who've had it worse than me, unfortunately, such as being abused and bullied. It had never changed the fact that I wanted to remove my hijab. The hijab to me is an identity. It's a it's proof to myself and for others to see that I am a Muslim woman. It's also a sign of respect and modesty. It's for others to know that the ultimate perception of a person is through their intellect, their manners, and their behaviors. And the hijab is also representative to, it reflects our behaviors, our manners, our character as a Muslim woman, and all that has helped me to become closer to God. So with all the unfortunate things that's been happening, you know, to Muslim women for wearing the hijab, or just being a woman, just being a Muslim, just being a minority, at this point, I feel more proud that I am a Muslim woman. You know, we see, like, it's a beautiful irony that we see right now, because even though someone is trying to divide us, it's only making us want to be together even more. And this country is full of minorities, which makes us a majority. So everyone knows that a decent person is just, you know, they know that humanity comes first.
Assembly member David Weprin is sponsor of the Religious Garb Bill in the New York State Assembly. He said he stands with all Americans of faith, regardless of their choice to wear a hijab, kippah, turban, or cross. All Americans of all faiths, he said, should be allowed to freely exercise and display their religious choice without the fear of violence and bigotry. Beta Mustafia is the assistant commissioner with the mayor's office for immigrant affairs. She's proud to stand with Muslim women who are community leaders. It reminds her that resistance from Muslim women is nothing new.
My grandmother, a 95-plus-year-old woman, reminded me at the age of 13 or 14 when a ban was placed on wearing hijab in Iran, where my family is from. And what she had to do to live her life, everyday little symbols of resistance, getting up early before dawn and before police were in the streets, to go out and be able to wear her hijab on the way to take shower, public showers, making sure that she was at school before the police were around, limiting her freedom to go in the streets because she didn't want to go out without her hijab on, and she couldn't do that. She reminded me that this resistance is something that many Muslim women have endured and fought against for generations. That is not new, and it is the strength of that resiliency that brings us here in a moment of profound power and resistance against what we are facing with these executive orders. As a city, the mayor has said, a stroke of a pen does not change who we are or the values we stand behind. We are a city of immigrants, proud and strong, nearly 40% of our population foreign-born. And our job today and every day is to ensure that everybody knows that all of the resources of education, of health, of ID, and other services remain open to all immigrants, regardless of their status, and that we must celebrate our diversity and our plurality. And our values do not change today, tomorrow, or the next day, but that we strongly stand together. And my grandmother also reminded me that it was in those moments that her family, her sister, her mother, herself, grew stronger together because they had to learn how to resist and had to learn how to work together as a family, as a community. And we cannot forget that. We are stronger together and collectively, and we will fight and stand by one another today, tomorrow, moving forward, until this ban and every other attempt to suppress our immigrant communities, brothers and sisters, is over.
World Hijab Day was founded back in 2013 by a New Yorker, Nazma Khan. It began in reaction to Muslim women harassed for wearing the head covering used by some women who practice Islam. Organizers of the day have asked non-Muslim women to wear the hijab for a day in solidarity with Muslim women everywhere. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
Soft fountains like cream, the waters rise, and when we stroll there together, no one could laugh or criticize. Each and every one of us, we can operate through the vision and hope and love and compassion instead of fear and hatred, ladies and gentlemen. Let's live with that one.
Amen, sister.